chapter. I'll try to get done today. If I don't, I'll finish it up tonight. But because there is some history involved today that I personally feel is just fascinating to see how the providence of God has worked in America's history. I'm going to take a text from Psalm 11 and verse 3. And I'm going to tell you, this text is powerful. It's special to me because I was there the day I was a charter member of Wilmington Baptist. It was organized, I believe it was August 3rd, 1981. And it was organized that it was a mission out of Bryan Station Baptist Church. And this, on this occasion, on the organizational service, Brother Al Gormley, the pastor at Bryan Station, preached on Psalm 11 in verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" So that's a special text and a special memory for me. And I want to preach today on the foundations of America. Tomorrow, July 4th, the United States of America will be officially 246 years old by way of the Declaration of Independence. I believe that in many ways, there were solid foundational principles laid in the founding of our country. I believe there was a measure of honesty, integrity, and a God consciousness. I'm not saying that Americans, at the very beginning, that everybody was saved. It's never been true. There's never been a majority of people saved in any nation. Now, there is an exception to that. In the millennial kingdom, there will be a majority throughout the millennial reign who are an overwhelming majority who are saved by the grace of God. But never in the history of man has that been true. But we were founded upon some distinct Christian principles. And I believe that those foundational principles are crumbling. They're falling down around us and have been for at least a century. And I believe that until we return, we are going to continue to be under the judgment of Almighty God as a nation. We're living in a day, an age of humanistic teaching. People really, there are new gods, even since I originally wrote this in manuscript form. Today, technology is a god. Social media is a god in and of itself. People are daily bowing at the altars of Twitter and Facebook, and they are idolatrous in their worship of sports and Hollywood and education and science, you know, the new brands of science. Idolatry, replacing the true and living Word of God. We live in a day and age where most people are daily being indoctrinated with propaganda from the mainstream media. Which, by and large, if you do a study of this, I would urge you to do it. Almost every major journalist in the United States has graduated from Columbia University or one of the Ivy League schools that are promoting without any shame Marxism, communism, socialism. And these are the people that deliver the news to you every day. Not just news, but what they believe about it. And as a result, people are being indoctrinated. Our schools are rife with all kinds of things that don't pertain to reading, writing, arithmetic, or history. They've become hotbeds of indoctrination for critical theory. That's the original Marxist theory in America that was introduced in the early 1900s, where it was to cause division in America. They've just added a racial component to critical theory. Now it's called critical race theory. So that you have identity groups always at one another, at odds with one another. This is where we are. And it's due in large part to a lack of focus on what's right and true and honorable as revealed in the Scriptures. Folks, America has thrown God out. They're trying to remove God completely out of every public forum, out of the schools, out of government. I mean, can you believe that there is a political party today mad because a guy kneeled in prayer after a football game? He originally was fired for it. He took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and he was just exercising his First Amendment rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. And, I mean, people are upset. And yet, they don't see the hypocrisy. We are living in an age where systematically kids in education are being taught the religion of secular humanism, of atheism, of racism, of climate change. These are all religious propositions that are being taught. There's no separation of religion and state when it comes to that. The state is propagandizing kids in that atheistic type of religion. It's no wonder that we've seen a massive decline in church attendance among young people. I mean, they're being taught to hate God, to hate the Word of God, to question everything about God. It started with evolution. You know, it's one of my pet peeves. How many people compromise with the literal creation account? I will not compromise. Even if the state says, you will say billions of years, I'm going to say six. You know, when they're putting the electrodes to my brain and got me on that thing and my body's shaking, I hope I can still say six. 6 days. Because that's what the Bible teaches. With all the so-called advancements in America, we are facing serious problems, diseases, divorces, heresies, murder in the streets, crime infestation in our major cities, immorality is just a common everyday thing. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all of these things, they're saying, oh, that's just normal. It's sinful. It's wrong. And I believe we've seen an acceleration of wickedness. And the question is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe there is an active desire on the part of those who are really pulling the strings of power. Globalists, Chinese communists, Marxists within our governmental system that want to completely do away with God, the Bible, and allegiance to Jesus Christ in our nation. All of these things, all of these problems can be traced to really one root, which is the reason why solid religious foundations are destroyed, and that is a departure from the God of the Bible, from the truth of the gospel. Let me ask you something. In your course of life, when's the last time anybody has ever talked to you about the gospel? Outside of people that you know as church members. See, they want talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Salvation only through Him as the way, the truth, and the life. They want that to be confined only in small gatherings. And if they could get away with doing away with that, they'll do it. When was the last time anybody ever talked to you about the gospel? Well, we talk to people about the gospel outside of these four walls. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Psalm 82:5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I believe that this describes godless America today. But what I want to do is give you some bits of history that led to the good foundations, the founding principles of our country. And to do that, I got to take you back. Hard to fathom this. Before there was electricity. Before there were automobiles, or televisions, or washing machines, or fast food, McDonald's. Before there were any professional sporting events, before the internet. Back in the days when people actually wrote things with a pen, and they put it to paper, even to parchment. Really, life was pretty tough back then. Very simple. Every day was a day of hard work. A day of overcoming obstacles. One thing I love about the people of the United States of America as founded is they were resilient, self-reliant, hard-working people. We got too many lazy people in America today. And it will be our downfall. The love of pleasure has just overwhelmed our country. But I want to take you back when people had a Christian ethic. I'm not saying that they were all saved, but they had a respect for God and His Word. Now, to do that, we got to look at some events that came prior to America's independence that I think were really vital in the spread of the gospel among English people, among English-speaking people, and really the foundations of Western civilization, and ultimately democracy and the idea of a republic, a democratic republic. The printing press that was invented by Johannes Gutenberg in 1450 was a major component. Because what happened is they began to be able to produce the printed word in great volume, and people began to learn. They began to read. They read the Bible. They read other things. And as they began to learn, they realized that they could have freedom, that they could have liberty, that they could go against the political and religious tyranny that had been the norm through the Dark Ages. So the printing press, the advent of the printing press, and then John Wycliffe, who many believe that he was among the Lollards. He was instrumental in 1382 in bringing forth the first translation of the Latin Vulgate into English, which was monumental. But it was against the law, because they didn't want, the Catholic Church did not want common people to read the Bible. They wanted to confine it only to the priests, who would then deliver the message in Latin, which a lot of people didn't even understand. So John Wycliffe, when he began to translate that into English, it was monumental. And then that later led to William Tyndale. He translated an English New Testament in 1526. Now, they hated William Tyndale because I think it was Tyndale who said his goal was to make it so that a plowboy could read as well as the nobles in the king's court, that they could read the Bible for themselves. Well, that aspiration that he had and the dedication that he had in bringing an English Bible translated from the Greek and Hebrew, not from the Latin Vulgate, but from the Greek and Hebrew. You know how he was rewarded? He was strangled to death. Then they dug up his body and burned him at the stake. That's how much they hated William Tyndale. Tyndale's translation led to the publishing of what was known as the Matthew Bible in 1537. Ultimately, these English Bibles led to 1611, where some say 47, some say 54, translators who were commissioned by King James came forth what we today call the King James Authorized Version. And I think it may be observed that English Bible that this is the one that the preacher was preaching out of when I was saved in 1980. It's the Bible that I've used in study. It's the Bible that I've memorized, that I've preached from for 40 years. Actually, 40 plus years now. I've been preaching since, I think, June of 1981. I know what you're thinking. How can you look so young? How could you have preached that long? Stop. I believe that this book that you hold in your lap today, did more to shape the lives and the thinking of the Pilgrims, the Puritans, and the early Americans than any other book. And it's proved to be the Bible that God has used in every awakening, in every revival among English-speaking people. Now, I know it's pretty fashionable to use other translations, and I'm not going to get into all that. I'm an old school kind of guy. If I make it to August, I'm going to be 63, and I am completely satisfied that this is the Word of God. Now, in 1620, the Pilgrims came to America seeking religious toleration and freedom from the State Church of England and other European countries where there was political and religious tyranny. The historian Leonard Bacon wrote this: "The pilgrim wanted liberty for himself and his wife and little ones, and for his brethren, to walk with God in a Christian life as the rules and motives of such a life were revealed to him from God's Word. For that, he went into exile. For that, he crossed the ocean. For that, he made his home in a wilderness." How amazing is it to think that people came from Europe on little boats to come here to establish religious freedom? How amazing is that? Listen, man, most people can't even cross the river. Most people won't even get on a boat on the river. These are people that left Europe and crossed the Atlantic Ocean to come to a place where they knew literally nothing really about. And many of them died in the crossing and in the first years that were here. The first attempt, and I usually do this around Thanksgiving, so I'm not going to get into it. But originally, they set up kind of a socialist thing before it was even in vogue, and it miserably failed. And then they realized capitalism is the way to motivate people to work and produce and sell goods and services, and it just began to bust out and thrive. By the way, that's another thing that our kids are being taught today, that the principles of free enterprise and capitalism are evil. That we need to follow the ideology of Karl Marx and communism. Everywhere socialism and communism has held sway, there has always been tyranny and destruction and control. And if we don't turn the ship around, the Venezuelan vision is going to come to fruition in America. Here was the opening of the Mayflower Compact, which was known as America's first document of Christian self-government. The Mayflower Compact, its opening statement read, "In the name of God, amen. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic." Don't sound like deist to me. Doesn't sound like those fellows were atheists to me. Now again, I'm dealing with events that occurred prior to the founding of America. Here's one that most people never consider. But I think it may be one of the single most important events. And that was the very first Baptist church on American soil was organized in 1638 at Newport, Rhode Island, with John Clark called as the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Newport. Now, a lot of people say it was Roger Williams. Roger Williams was not even a Baptist. Clark actually had authority from a church in England to do that work. He was a doctor. He was also a strong doctrines of grace man. He believed in sovereign grace. He also, this is significant, he wrote the first constitution of religious liberty in Rhode Island in 1638. So just as soon as that church was organized, he was already trying to affect the community in 1638. Clark was chiefly responsible for obtaining a charter from the King of England in 1663, allowing religious freedom in Rhode Island. 1663. What's significant about that? Most of the other colonies were considered to be under the Church of England solely, and you didn't have religious freedom because they were setting up the colonies along denominational lines, and there was not religious freedom. There were men like Obadiah Holmes, who was, because he was a Baptist in Massachusetts, he was publicly whipped and imprisoned because he would not deny the Baptist faith. Now, there's some others in there too, but I don't have time to get into all that. But do you see one of the founding things about America? Baptist principles. Everybody in America ought to thank God for Baptists, because they were the ones who lobbied for religious liberty, the freedom to worship according to the dictates of one's own conscience, arguing against the state church. I argue today, we have a state church in America. It's atheism and secular humanism and evolution, and all of those things are being taught in the state church. Then, another event, the Great Awakening in 1734, did much to further godly impressions upon the minds of men. See, people needed to be saved. They needed their hearts changed. God used two men who weren't Baptists to preach powerful messages. Jonathan Edwards, who was the president of Princeton University and also a local pastor, and George Whitefield, who had come from England and did evangelistic work in Georgia and all up the East Coast there. There was an awakening. There was an outpouring of God's Spirit. People were being convicted and saved, and lives were changed. And here's what's really amazing about that. A lot of the converts, when they began to read the Bible for themselves, joined Baptist churches. And that's when Baptists began to flourish in the early colonies. Now, God used the preaching of His Word, the gospel of the grace of God, and many people were saved. But there was still persecution In fact, even up into the early 1800s, Baptists were being persecuted. Now, I want you to understand something. In the early days of America, consider how different Baptists were from every other religious denomination. Baptists said that the Bible is our sole authority for all faith and practice. Not the canons or the edicts of the Catholic Church, not the 39 articles of the Church of England. No, the Bible is our final authority. Baptists were the only ones who were preaching that salvation was by grace through faith, apart from infant baptism, apart from church membership. They did not believe in denominational salvation. They believed in a personal salvation. That God saved sinners by His grace. They were the only ones in all the world who were actually baptizing believers upon the profession of their faith. Everybody else, by and large, were baptizing babies. They weren't baptized, they were sprinkling babies. Some of them would dunk a baby, but they didn't have a lot of sense. But that's what people did. Baptists alone believed in believers' baptism. Because that's what the founder of their church, the Baptist, taught Jesus Christ. So they were contending for believers' baptism by immersion, a regenerate church membership. If you baptize babies in order to take away their original sin or make them enter covenant with God, you're saying there's some connection between water and salvation. That's heresy. It's anti-Christian, in fact, because Christ didn't teach that. Baptists believed in a regenerate church membership. They also believed in complete religious tolerance to worship the true and living God. And for those beliefs, they were imprisoned, whipped publicly, fined extensively. Now, these are all things that led up to the founding of America. Tonight, I should have known I wasn't going to get through the whole thing. Tonight, I'm going to deal with what are these foundational principles that our country was built upon. And again, the most important thing is to know the Lord as your Savior. And I would contend that, by and large, the United States has done a lot of mission work, sent out a lot of missionaries throughout the whole world to preach the gospel of the grace of God. We'll continue with this tonight. Let's all stand.